Name Lord Jesus, I speak here. I have been assigned 10 sessions to talk about two doctrines. And the doctrines of foot washing, rather the sacraments of foot washing, and also the doctrine of baptism. You find that these two doctrines actually are two sacraments which the true Jesus Church practices on those who believe not only in Jesus but also in the church. Okay. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to spend about 2 to 3 hours to talk about the sacraments of foot washing, and I will devote the rest of the time to the study of the doctrines of water baptism. Okay. I think I have given you some handout, so in your free time please read them up. And you know, as for the foot washing sacraments, I think there are some key concepts that I would like to, you know, discuss and share with you. Okay, I think if you want to understand this sacrament better, then I think there are certain concepts we need to understand. Okay, tell what, if I have time, I will talk about the developments of the sacraments in the true Jesus Church. I think you must have heard about, you know, how the resolution on the foot washing sacrament came about, like in the year 1932. Okay, so I basically give you a brief introduction to that, because ideas now are floating around the church. I think it's better for us to clear the air so that you can have a better understanding of it. Right. I probably will leave it to the last, then we'll talk about it. Right. And also, you know, the idea of having a part with Jesus. What does it mean by having a part with Jesus Christ? Okay. Now, as we all know that when we are baptized into Christ Jesus. Right. Now, the process of baptism and joins a person into the body of Christ. If that being the case, then why foot washing? Right. You find that challenging questions are being posed. So, you know, like what I said to you before, we are here to equip ourselves with, hopefully by the grace of God, a deeper understanding of the belief that we embraced. Okay? And hopefully in return, we are more equipped to defend the faith that, you know, we believe that can save us. Okay, so this is what I'm going to do. Now, as for the water baptism, I think, you know, I also have given you two sets of handouts. One is on baptism in living water. I try to explain it, you know, in such a way that it might become clearer, okay? And because all these verses actually are from the older generation. Okay, I believe in this. The first generation workers, or even the second or third, they have been given the wisdom to know where to gather all these verses. I think the only thing is, they have not explained them sufficiently for this generation to accept. You get what I'm saying? Right? That's why I believe that your generation, is the generation that should devote much time to the explaining of the doctrines. Okay, to make it clearer. And I believe that God will give you wisdom, strength and power, to embrace, not only to embrace the doctrine, but to explain the doctrine more clearly. Okay, so this should be the direction and desire or objective, you know, in your study of the doctrine. Okay, now I think I will also spend some time to talk about head bow in baptism. Okay, now I think for those who have been preaching to your friends, you must have realized that these two elements in the mode of baptism actually are the most difficult to explain. Okay, now so we hope that we are going to, you know, again by the grace of God, gather, you know, more understanding from our study together. Okay, obviously this is our hope and this is also our prayer. Okay, I have also given you, apart from baptism in living water, I also given you a case study, and you shouldn't be reading the answer. Have you read the answer already? You should not read the answer. You just read the case. Okay, forget about the second part. The second part is my answer to the question raised in the case studies. So I want you to read through the case studies and forget about my answer. If you are not happy, you can tear it. Seriously, no problem with it. Okay. The important thing is you must be able to answer, you know, some, you know, challenging question like what have been raised, you know, in the case studies. Is that okay? Please don't read the answer first. Okay, I'll make time to go through with you if possible. Just clip it in. Too high tech. Okay. So any question, is that clear? So I'll spend 2 or 3 hours to talk about foot washing. Okay, foot washing. Now, if you have read through this, I think I have defined the term sacrament, you know, somewhere in the essay or in the article. So, what is a sacrament? What is a sacrament? Now you know that this term is not found in the Bible. Right? So some people questions. Why must the church, or why should the church, use an unbiblical term? Okay, you find that we try to avoid using terms which are not found in the scriptures. Okay, the reason being that sometimes they may, you know, misconstrue the actual meaning of the Bible. Okay, that's why. Like we don't use the word person in the Godhead, because the Bible never used the word person apart from Hebrews chapter 1, right? And again, that passage, chapter 1 verse 3, it has a lot to do with the translation as well. Can you talk about the accuracy of the translation? Okay, now what is a sacrament? So you need to understand, sometimes we can borrow, you know, a term to explain an idea in the scriptures, right? But we have to make sure that this term does not actually affect, you know, the idea concerned. Okay, insofar as, you know, the idea is not affected, then I believe we can use a certain term, right, to explain, say, a certain concept that we can find in the Bible. Now my question is, what is a sacrament? Is a, again, sorry. It's an essential condition which is concerned with salvation. Okay, I think the main idea is there. Okay, so. You know, I think I defined it somewhere, I can't remember now. Yeah, if you turn to the last page, You know, this the second last paragraph before the conclusion. Okay, now if you look at line 3, can you see a sacrament? The second last paragraph here before conclusion, line 3, can you see a sacrament is a practice instituted and given to the apostle by the Lord Jesus himself, which represents and confers grace when rightly received, with its physical aspect entirely conformed to the Bible to effect its spiritual significance. Okay. Now actually when I did this, I tried to incorporate all the idea given in the 3 points below, you know, below the definition, because this 3 points here are not from me, actually are from the church. You get what I'm saying? So I try to incorporate all these 3 points, okay, to help us understand. It's a practice instituted and given to the apostle by the Lord Jesus. Okay, obviously it's about salvation. It's concerned with salvation. Yeah. Okay, that's a sacrament. Right now, obviously this is open to correction. Right, this is merely a personal definition. So it's not a church definition. You understand what I'm saying? I did this to help myself remember, you know, certain concept in the scriptures better. Is it okay? But now, when we talk about the sacraments, there are three requirements. Yeah, for a sacrament, for a practice to be called a sacrament. Now, what are the three requirements? What are the three requirements? Jesus has done it himself, right? Jesus has done it himself. Like, if you look at baptism, and actually Jesus was baptized, okay? He actually involved in being baptized, okay? He is not the Baptist. Now, I think the main point here is because Jesus wanted to show us, how a person should be baptized. That's why he went through that process himself. Okay? Now, when you look at the Holy Communion, it's the same, isn't it? He instituted the Holy Communion, right? And he also told the disciple to do it as a remembrance of his death. Okay? Now, and when you look at the foot washing sacrament, likewise, he instructed his disciple. He first showed his disciple by involving in the act of washing the feet of the disciple. Okay, so the Lord Jesus has himself demonstrated it. Now the second point, right? The Lord Jesus has commanded his disciple to perform it. Right. Now, like when you look at the sacraments of, the doctrine of the water baptism, like in Mark chapter 16, verse 16, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. Right? The instruction actually came directly from the resurrected Christ. Now, this holds true with the Holy Communion sacraments as well. He also commands his disciple. Likewise, he also commands his disciple to wash the feet of those who believe. Now, finally, we find that it concerns salvation. Right? It concerns salvation. Now, if you look at all these three sacraments, like baptism, if you are not baptized, then you cannot be saved. Now, there is a verse which says that baptism now saves. Where is it? Baptism now saves. Do you remember? Apart from Mark chapter 16, verse 16, And this statement actually is uttered by one of the apostles of Jesus Christ. Okay? Yes, 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. Okay, I'll give you a sweet for answering correctly. Okay. Right, now, so it's chapter 3, verse 21, yeah, concerned with salvation. Now, as for the Holy Communion sacrament, I would like you to read chapter 6, right? Chapter 6. Please turn to chapter 6. Obviously, it's John. I thought you knew. This should be at your fingertips, class. Okay. John chapter 6. Okay, we read verse 54. Now, whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. He's talking about eternal life being given to those who have partaken of the body and the blood of Jesus Christ. Okay, now, likewise, when you look at foot washing sacrament, Jesus said, "I do not wash you, then you have no part with me." No part with me. Okay, so these are the three requirements. Now, I think it's essential for us to remember them well, right? Now, I think, like the basic belief of the church, yeah, all the relevant verses, you should remember them well. Okay, so that you can use them very, handily. Okay, whenever you can just use them. You know, you find that to preach the gospel, we are talking about going to Africa to preach. Right? You need to build up. You need to build on a certain foundation. Obviously, we say the foundation is the truth, yeah? And to be more precise, we are talking about the doctrines. Right? You need to build on the doctrines. Right? So first of all, you need to know all the verses, all the relevant verses. And then, you know, from there you can tie in many other verses to explain the concept. Okay? Now, the other point I would like to talk about is the relationship between the connection between these three sacraments. Now, we know that baptism is for the remission of sin, isn't it so? Yeah? And join a body into the body of Christ. And by getting baptized, by going through the process of baptism, we become the children of God. Okay? Now, meaning, through baptism, we are in the body of Christ. Right? We are part of Jesus. We are part of the body. Now, if that is the case, then why foot washing? You need to think through the relationship, the connection. Anyone? How would you answer the question if I come to you and said, "Look, I think what you are doing now, yeah, practicing foot washing, is a redundant exercise. Why? Because through baptism, you are already in Christ Jesus. Why the need for foot washing?" Yes.
People say, "Hey, you're not tight. That wash your feet already." But it's kind of like another teaching, which is being humble and loving others. So it's got more of that.
Okay. Now, I don't deny that. Yeah. You know, all the sacraments, you know, I forgot to mention to you, in every sacrament there are two parts, right? The first is what we call the doctrinal aspects of the sacraments, right? Now, the second, about teachings, you know, concerning the sacraments. Now, we are talking about the first, the doctrinal aspects of the sacraments. Okay, if baptism, yeah, is a mean by which a person is ushered into the body of Christ, then why foot washing? Is that not a redundant exercise, a useless exercise? Okay, if you said it's only for humility sake, then fair enough, you can perform foot washing. But you see, the thing is, it's like we cut off the doctrinal aspects. You understand what I'm saying? Okay. So how would you explain? Right? How would you explain? Now, the third, yeah, if you think about Holy Communion, it's the same. It's the same. Because, you know, when you partake of the Holy Communion, you are given life so that when Christ comes again, you can be raised, isn't it? Yeah, you can be raised with Christ. Yeah? It's like, you know, does it mean that when you are baptized, you don't have the life of Jesus in you? So, you know, I feel that some of the questions, we need to think through them very carefully, because otherwise you find that you're going to affect your belief, right? Now, I always believe in this. Understanding is power, is strength. Okay? If you have understood the Word of God well, then nothing can shake you. Nothing can shake your faith. Why? Because you can find meaning in your belief. Second, you can find support from the Scriptures. Right? Now, on the contrary, you find that if you are not able to explain, yeah, then any, you know, any assumption or logic, you know, can easily become very, you know, persuasive to you. You get what I'm saying? Now, class, do you think that foot washing is necessary for salvation in the first place? If yes, how would you explain it? You have already been baptized. Why foot washing? Oh, this is what Jesus has commanded. I love the answer. Seriously, this is how I start my building up of my explanation, my understanding. First, because this is what Jesus said. I hold on to that first. You understand what I'm saying? So the first question, thank you very much. That's precisely what how a person should build up their understanding. First question you need to ask, did Jesus talk about it? Okay? Did Jesus command his disciple to do it? That's the first question. Okay? He did. He said also in chapter 13, isn't it? Okay? Now, that's the first one. Now, the second thing, yeah? Now with this, then you can go on explaining. Okay, you can go on explaining. Okay, if you look at baptism, now, you know, the ushering in here is the result of what? Of participating in the death of Jesus, isn't it? Yeah. So in the process, what happened? Your sins are forgiven. So baptism, I would say, enables you to have a part in Jesus, or have a share in Jesus, like through the remission of sin. Okay, so this one is for the remission of sin. Okay, now you know for sure that if a person's sin are not removed, then surely he cannot come into the presence of God, let alone being part of the body of Christ. You get what I'm saying? Okay? Now, to me, this is the main part here. To have a part with Jesus, and to be in Jesus Christ, precisely because our sins are washed. That's the main function. Okay? Now, when you look at foot washing, now you are in Christ Jesus,
What should you do? What should you do? Okay, I want to show you some verses. I think in my article I did mention that. Okay, all right. I want you to read. What is it? Matthew. Turn to Matthew. Is it Matthew? Okay, we read chapter 24. Okay, Matthew chapter 24. We read verse 51. Now, Matthew chapter 24, verse 51. And will cut him in two and appoint him his portion with the hypocrite. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Now the portion here actually is the same word as the one mentioned in John chapter 13 at the top, right? Now the portion is mentioned, yeah? If you look at the parable, yeah? It's talking about servitude, right? How we should serve. And here it talks about the faithful and the evil servant, right? Now when you look at foot washing itself, apart from the doctrinal side of things, we understand that this is also an act of service. Is it not so? Okay? Now, so, this one is to enable you, obviously, okay, apart from having a part with Jesus, the main reason is that you can serve in the body of Christ. If your sins are not forgiven, then you're not qualified. Right? Now, foot washing is that to enable you, is to confirm that you can serve in the body of Christ, having a part in the service to God. Right? Now, where is the other verse? There's one more, I think, in Luke, isn't it? Yes. We turn to Luke chapter. You know, coincidentally, maybe it's not so much a coincidence. When you look at chapter 12, yeah, verse 46, again the word portion is used, yeah, meaning this guy here, this unfaithful servant, has no part with all the other servants, rather he has a part with the unbelievers. Can you see? The word portion is mentioned. Chapter 12, yeah, verse 46, Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Now, meaning his portion is now not with the, what? With all the other servants. You get what I'm saying? His portion is with the unbelievers. Why? Because he is not faithful. That's the idea, right? Foot washing part. Okay. Now, when you come to the Holy Communion, yeah, Holy Communion sacraments, okay? Now, you know, the Bible says when Christ comes again, because of what you have taken, then you should be raised with Christ. So this is about a life, yeah? And this part here is life of what? Is life of having a part in the eternal glory. Now when you look at these three sacraments, actually they fit very well together. It starts from what? The remission of sin. And being a servant of God requires us to serve throughout our life. Just like Paul says, we were slaves of sin before, and having been what? Enjoined into the body of Christ in Romans chapter 6, we become what? Slave of righteousness. Is it not so? So we serve. Okay, just like Christ when he was on earth, right? He bore our sins on the cross, and he served, and then what happened? He raised in glory. I think to me, when you look at it in this way, then it makes a lot of sense. Even though there is a common element of, we say, part, okay? But each gives a very different aspects of having a part in Christ. Is it okay? Or you are totally confused. That's how I take it. Hmm? Yes, that's why you see even the sequence, right? You baptize first and then what happens? You go for foot washing, isn't it? Yeah, and then? Holy Communion. It's a miracle. Mystery. Okay, so you know that's why I said thank you, yeah. It's very important that, because this is what Jesus said, you need to hold on to that first. This is what Jesus says. So you hold on to that. And then this is how you build it on. Okay? Now that's it. That's good. Okay. The other thing is, I just remember, you know this BFH, Baptism, Food Washing, Holy Communion. It's easier, BFH. Okay. We coin up short form for ourselves. It's easier. It's not a bank, you know. I don't know what HSCB. Okay. BFH. Actually, it's like a package. Package of salvation. Right? So, we need all. Yeah, to eventually what? To be with Christ, you know, when He comes again. That's the thing. Okay? It's a package. You cannot remove one. If you do that, then you find that, you know, it's like your faith is incomplete. In a way, you will tilt the balance of your faith. Right, we move on. Now, can I ask someone to tell me if eternal glory. My handwriting is wonderfully nice. Green. I scribble. Well, just to keep you awake. So you strain your eyes. Okay. Okay, I want one of you to explain. You know, if I come in and ask you, yeah, the institution of the foot washing here is different from the Jewish custom of foot washing. How will you prove that? You know, this one is different. How will you prove that? Anyone? Anything? That's because this is a doctrinal class, yeah? So whatever you said, please back it up with verses from the scriptures. Okay, that's quite true. Eh? Now I think the foot washing, the Jewish tradition is that, you know, somebody, a slave would wash the feet of the master. It's a very lowly type of job, okay? Needs to be performed by a slave or a servant. Obviously, you know, I think I've written some notes on in this handout as well. I think it's a very brief introduction, yeah? How it was first given. And I think the first record is in Genesis, when Abraham washed the feet of the three unexpected guests. And so it's like, you know, Abraham was very insistent about it. Okay, he wanted to wash their feet. So, you know. Okay. Now, so I think what John said is quite right as well. Yeah. No. So, you know, the Jewish people has this habit of, you know, before, like they go out, they would first take a shower or take a bath. Right. Now, so when they reach their destination, or when they go to, you know, the house of their friends or whatever, and they would have their feet washed. That's their tradition. Okay. So, you know, the feet, their feet are washed before, like, you know, they enter into the house. Okay, that's the thing. Okay. Now I want you to read the John. Yeah, you turn to the book of John. Turn to the book of John. Look at chapter 13. Yeah, the book of John, chapter 13. We read verse 1, yeah? John chapter 13 verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come, that he should depart from this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Now, you find that they have been in the room for quite a substantial period of time, because here it says what? The Passover feast, what was about to come to an end, is that not true? Yeah, he says supper was about to end. Yeah, and then Jesus, what? From verse 4 onward, he rose from supper and laid aside his garment. So he started washing the feet. So quite clearly, there is a marked difference between the institution of foot washing and the Jewish customary practice of foot washing. Yep, because they have been in the room for quite a long period of time already. Right? Okay. Now this is the first one. The second one is mentioned by Michael. Yeah, that the usual practice is, you know, a slave would wash the feet of the master, or the master would wash the feet of his guests when the guests, you know, come. You know, the master would wash the feet. Okay, now when you look at the institution here, you realize that the foot washing here is totally different, in that Jesus being what? The master himself. Now, what kind of master are we talking about? What kind of master? It's not just like a human master to them. Who is he to them? He is the Son of God. He is the teacher of righteousness. Yeah, he was God himself in the flesh. Alright? Right? He came into this world, yeah, to wash the feet of the disciple. So you can see the huge contrast here. Yeah? Okay? Now I want you to look at we move on, yeah? We now come to verse 8. I want you to look at verse 8, yeah? Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Now here it is more than just what? An act of humility. Okay. Now if it were an act of humility, then I guess Jesus should have praised Peter, yeah, for being so understanding, for being so humble. Okay? Because in his heart he realized that he was not worthy to receive washing of his feet from the master. It was wrong in his mind. Well, how could Jesus, being the master, perform such a lowly task on him? Okay. Now, so it was only right for him to refuse washing. Yeah, as mentioned in verse 8. Now, however, when you look at the reply from Jesus, and it like shocked him to his core, right? He was terrified. What did Jesus said? "If I do not wash you, you have no part with me." Okay, so we find that it goes beyond, you know, the act of humility. Obviously, we don't deny that this is a very humble act. Maybe we can say this is the humblest of all, if I can put it this way. It's the most humble, Yeah. Okay. Now, so upon hearing what Jesus said, that Peter was so scared. Said, no, not only what, not only my feet, yeah? But also my hands, my head. Okay, and that's why Jesus said, he who is bathed needs only to wash his feet, but is completely clean. And you are clean, but not all of you. Okay. Now the next one is, I want you to read verse 12. Look at the question from Christ. Yeah? Look at the question from Christ. Now, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments, and sat down again, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Now, I think this question, surfaces something very important. If this is only a Jewish custom, then for Jesus to ask this question is a useless question. Is that true? It's useless. Because it's a custom, you don't question a person's custom in this way. Because this is something which has been done all along, then why should you question it? Is that okay? Yeah? Now, so the question points to the fact that what Jesus has done is something very new, something that the disciples have never seen before, prior to the actual act of washing done by Christ. They've never heard about it before. Right. So that's why Jesus said, do you know what I have done to you? Right. Do you know what I have done to you? Okay, now the next one, I want you to read verse 15. Yeah, verse 15. Now, for I have given you an example that you should do as I have done to you. Now, this is one of the requirements of the sacraments. Now, so Jesus said he has given them an example. Now, meaning he was the first one to do it. So that's why he said this is an example. Okay? Yeah? An example that he has set, and the disciple and those who come later on should model upon it to follow that example. Yeah. Okay, otherwise you find that what Jesus said here is useless if the foot washing after all is only a Jewish practice. It cannot be an example if it is only a Jewish practice, because it has been done for so many years, even before Jesus Christ was born. Okay. Now, so it has to be done as told by Jesus. Yeah? Okay, now not only that, you find that this sacrament and this practice actually is attached with a blessing. We can see this in verse 17. Okay, if you perform a lowly task, a task that you are required to do, I don't think you are given a blessing for that. Right? It's what is required of you. Okay, now so far, any question on this? How to prove that this foot washing is different from a Jewish practice of foot washing? Anyone? Any question? Feel free to ask. Yes. Two out of the three should only do once on the newly bound, on the new convert. I picture it in this way. Huh? I picture it in this way. I'm not sure whether it's a very good illustration. It's how I look at it. How do I put it? How can I explain it? You know, in this passage, there are two types of foot washing. Yeah, one is what? It's a sacrament. Yeah, sacrament. And the other one is what? Sacrament. Okay, is you can mutual foot washing. Okay, now this is done what? This is done to reconcile to one another. Right, if I offended you. And what? I wash your feet, you wash my feet. There's a mutual foot washing. And this should be done regularly. Okay? If possible. You get what I'm saying? But you don't see that this is a common practice in the church. But we emphasize on the essence rather than the act itself. Okay? Now, to me, I think we should, if there is a problem in the church, yeah, where you find that, you know, said two individuals are not able to reconcile. I think this one is very, very effective. Now, you know, when you look at this, yeah, you are already in the body. You are already in the body. Why should you want to do it again? And on top of that, Jesus never said that you should do it often. No. Unlike the Holy Communion, yeah, we see that, yeah. When you compare with the Holy Communion, Paul says that we must do it as often as we can. Is that also? Again, it's an instruction from God. Yes. So we do it as often as we can. Okay. Any other questions? I'll try my best to answer your question if I can. Okay? If not, then I will think about. Your question. Okay.
So, one of the requirements of the second result, the logic of the first example is important. Thank God that he said, Jesus, he do a thing like this, he was baptized, he shows him the things. But for the washing, he actually washes his hands. So, in this case, he passes to the point that is, where to wash others. So, it's not being washed by others. So,
You see here, in to me, chapter 13, like the instruction is given to the disciple. Okay, the main point is to have a part with Jesus, right? So if you are newly baptized, when you come into the church, then obviously the minister of the church must wash your feet so that you have a part with Jesus. It's an instruction given to the disciples. Is that also?
Yes.
I know what you're saying, because you're saying that you can either the Baptist or you are the one to be baptized, okay? Or you can be the one who washes the feet of others, or you are the one who receive what? I know what you're saying. Now, I think the main point is everyone must be washed in terms of baptism, and in terms of foot washing, everyone's feet must be washed. You may not be a Baptist, you may not be someone who performs foot washing, but the important thing is you must be baptized, you must have your feet washed, and you must receive the Holy Communion. That is the main point. Alright? So if we emphasize on this, then everything becomes clear. You have to make sure that you receive it. Any other question? Okay. You know, just now we talk about having a part. So I want you to look at chapter 13 again. Chapter 13. Yeah? We read verse 8. Now, verse 8. if I do not wash you, you have no part with me. Okay? Now, we said this is concerned with salvation. Actually, the word, this word part, you know, apart from the two verses I've shown you in Matthew 24 and also in Luke somewhere, I don't remember. Luke 12, yeah? Right? I think this word also appears quite frequently in Revelation, especially, you know, towards the end of Revelation. Yeah? Now, I just want to read one or two verses. We turn to Revelation chapter 21, yeah? Chapter 21, we read verse 8. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part, same word, part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Okay, there's one more, I think. We read we read chapter 20. Okay, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Okay, the same word is used. It's about salvation. So this term is used in a, if I can coin up a word, a salvational sense. Okay, or in the sense of salvation. Okay, now chapter 22. Revelations, yeah? Verse 19, yeah? Chapter 22, verse 19. So, and if anyone takes away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part from the book of life, from the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. Now, you find that all these verses, you know, why a person has no part in the kingdom of God? Because of insubordination, not being able to submit fully to God. Yeah, that's why you find that a person, when he is not able to submit, then his part will not be in heaven. Likewise, when you look at a servant, yeah? Now, what is required of a servant? Submission, is it also? Yeah. So when you submit, then you have this part in the Lord. Okay, now, so that's why we have said early on, you know, the this aspects of of having a part with God is more related to what? Being submissive to God. When you submit, then you have a part, okay, to God. In this case, you must be like a servant. Okay? You serve God in submission, in full submission to His will. Okay. Right. That's the idea. Okay. Any question before we pray? Any more questions? Do we follow this time here? This clock? Nice. I will not eat up your time. Give you enough time to break. Okay, any questions based on this? You know, I think maybe tomorrow, when we come to answering some of the questions, you know, some of the questions actually are quite challenging. Okay. This question, I have not gathered them from outside. It's actually from within the church. Okay. You have answered already. Okay. No? Alright, let's say a silent prayer. Amen. Okay, 15 minutes break, yeah?